Nick. Let's all stand together. Stand together. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I realize that the clock tells me it's 5 till 11, but I realize in the real world it's 5 till 12. And we have service tonight. So I'm going to do, we're going to get out here a little early. I'm going to get the latest we'll get out here. I'm saying 11:30. So if you listen, well, 11:30, which is actually 12:30, all right? Because we have church tonight at 5. Is there choir practice tonight? No choir practice tonight because you nailed it. You're doing so well. You don't need practice. Show up. It'll all be good. So if you listen fast, I'll talk fast today. And I want to get you out of here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to talk this morning on how to win when it seems like you're losing. How to win when it seems like you're losing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read the verse 13 verses. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commendeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank you for this morning, the time we have to be here. Lord, many of us feel like Paul sometimes, some of the things he mentioned that he went through. And yet, as Paul went through these things, he realized that he was on the winning side. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning to see some things that would help us to keep in mind that in Jesus Christ we have the victory, even when it seems like we may feel we're defeated. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is describing here the battles that he faced, the opposition he faced as he tried to fulfill God's purpose in his life, which is ultimately to share the gospel. If you read through the chapter and some of the verses that we read through here, you'll discover that Paul had inward struggles of self, some things he had to deal with that were just part of living and being in the flesh. There were also outward struggles of sight, spiritual blindness of those whom he was trying to reach. There were also the spiritual struggles that came as a result of Satan fighting against him. And then also, as we know, if we know our New Testaments well, that Paul also struggled with the physical struggles of suffering. These things would have been enough to make anybody feel, if they look at everything going on, that they were losing the battle. But as we saw, we read here, when Paul talked about many of those things that were going on, he said, but I understood that it was not fatal. Paul had the mindset that although things were going wrong, or not wrong, that opposition was facing him, it didn't matter. Paul was still on the winning side. Outwardly, it looked like he was losing. Now, let's pick it up and read 5 more verses. Look at verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul is going to give us some things here to help us. Knowing that he which raised up Jesus Christ shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are eternal. Now, Paul here starts to give us more of the positives, some of the things he knows. He knew that temporary setbacks would be replaced by eternal victories. You see, if we're saved, we are on the winning side. Victory in Jesus is not just a song we sing. It's a life we live. Now, in the early days of our church, I was the sports director, which means I coached all of our varsity teams, all of them. I tried to get someone to coach the girls' teams, but because we had people with IQs over 10, no one would do that, and I realized why. We had a girls' basketball team for a while. That didn't go well. We had girls' volleyball I coached. I coached boys' football. I coached boys' basketball, and I coached boys' volleyball. Let me just tell you something. I had a hard time with losing. I didn't do well with losing. In fact, we didn't lose very much. Now, that was good for the boys because the boys like to be challenged. The girls, I just made them all cry. I'd get on, the guys don't cry, you know? It's like, but we had a good time. Girls volleyball team. I took the girls volleyball team. They were horrid, and that was bad. And after much coddling and pulling their hair, they actually won the championship their first year. We were all excited about it. It's just, I didn't like losing. Remember one time we lost to a team, and they had, ladies volleyball, the ladies coach, she was pregnant. And I'm like, girls, that's the last time we lose to a pregnant coach, okay? Just... Maybe I'm just a chauvinist, just shaking her hand. I was like, girls, we could have won this game. But I didn't like losing. Someone has said, you learn more by losing than by winning. And I say, let's go teach. Losing. By the way, let me say this. As a Christian, you are on the winning side. You do have victory in Christ. Oh, I just feel like, I just feel like this isn't working. I feel like, and I don't like this word, I feel like a loser. Listen, if you feel like that, that's not where God wants you. And that's not where you have to be. God has something better for you. We don't have to live like that. We talked last Sunday morning, we talked about giants, grasshoppers, and grapes, the 10 spies. They went in there, they gave a bad report, and for 40 years they traveled in circles, dying in the wilderness. That was not God's plan for them. They chose that life. God has something better for us. Now, let's look here at these verses. How can we know we're winning, or how do we win when it seems like we're losing? We're going to look at verses 14 through 18, and really, it's a sports analogy. All these things here, if you look at them, it relates to athletics, if you think about it. What are the factors that can make us winners when we feel like we are losing? Look at number one. Know the game plan. Know the game plan. Verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. He says you have to know what's going to happen in the end. I know the game plan. I know what's coming over here, and it's good. Know the game plan. What has our coach, Jesus Christ, planned for us? See, if we know what the outcome is, then everything else that goes on is just part of getting to that outcome. And so we'll put up with it. We know we're victorious in Christ. Yes, we have setbacks. Yes, some things happen. But I know the game plan. I know what is coming in the future. Remember in our early days of our athletics department, and actually we still have this problem to our day, it just seems like tall people don't come to our church. And back in the early days, we started out as a Cambodian church. I love you Cambodians, but you're not tall. And so here we are. We have this Cambodian basketball team, and you know, we always joke around. It's like, oh, that team's killing us inside. You can't teach height. You can't teach height. I'm going to teach you how to be 6 foot tall. Wear platforms, okay? No. And so our game plan was this. We had 12, 13, 14 guys, and they were all fast. So here was our plan. Run, run, run. We pressed them from day one. It's like as soon as the game, we're pressing, we're fast breaking. Here was our goal. Eventually, I don't care how tall you are, you're going to get tired. We have more players than you, and we're going to beat you. Now, again, I don't like losing. And so usually at the end of the first quarter, we were always losing, and that made me nervous because the other team would get some layups, and they'd start running with us, but the problem was they weren't in the same shape we were in, and they didn't have as many players as we were in. So the first quarter, they were usually right there, or they were leading, but long about the second or third quarter, it's like it's a track meet. We're like getting layups, and they're still back there looking for oxygen. But we had to stick to the game plan. I remember the first time I started coaching, pastor's like, here's our plan. This is what you're going to do. And I'm like, Pastor, but we're leaving. They're getting layups. He goes, don't worry about it. Just follow the plan. We're going to be fine. Now, if we deviated from the plan, they killed us. Why? They were tall. Now, we have our plan. Our plan is to follow Jesus Christ and to follow his will. When we get to the end, it's going to be all right. But see, little problems come in our way, little irritations, little situations, and we get all out of kilter, and we want to change everything we're doing. That's the worst possible thing you can do. When you have a problem, you don't change everything. Well, you know, I know people, I'm just discouraged. I'm not going to go to church anymore. That's the worst thing you can do. That's when you need church. Not just when things are, well, you know, I've been a little down and I haven't been in my Bible lately. That's the time you need to be in your Bible. Follow the game plan. Realize God has a plan for your life. Follow it. Don't deviate from the plan. That's when problems start. I coached our football team. I called the plays, okay? I always called the plays. And we would have, I think, a wide receiver and I'd shoot in the plays. Now, our plays were easy. Formation, play, left or right, what's the count? Okay, you know, sweep to the right on four. Go. Now, how long does it take to say that? I would send a play in. They would huddle up. And in my mind, I'd start counting. One, two, three. When they were in the play too long, I know what they were doing. They were changing the play. And they knew at about 5 seconds, they were going to start yelling, hey, get out of the huddle, run the play, I told you to run. I knew it. It would happen every time. By the way, they found out that I didn't like that very well because I had a plan in place, okay? And look, it wasn't just about one play. One play led to another play. I mean, we would run them right, then we'd run them left, then we would run right and throw to the left, and you got a touchdown every time because they're all confused what's going on. But let me call the plays. I'm the coach. Follow God's plan. Yes, sir. See, we think we can improve God's plan. We think, well, God's plan's not working. I got to do something different. No. Temporary setback. Go forward. Realize God has a plan. And realize this. God's plan is found primarily in his word. That's God's playbook. It's God's, and the less you know, the harder it is for you to follow that plan. The first year I coached football, we had a really talented team. We probably should have won because we won the next 2 years. We won the title the next 2 years, and we probably had more talent on that team than those two teams. But I was a new coach. I had 7 plays, and we could do 2 or 3 different things off each play. And, you know, when we were playing teams with less skill, we blew them out. We had a good time. Now, when we got to the tournament, we played other teams. They figured out how to stop our 7 plays. And I'd be sitting there like, I need 5 yards. And I'm looking at my playbook. I'm like, there's nothing here that's going to get me 5 yards because I didn't have anything else. The next year, I put together a playbook. I had 9 different formations. I had 8 plays for each formation, and each play had about 3 options. It wasn't that hard to remember. So whenever we were playing, it's like I had so many different options, it wasn't funny. See, we get the same thing's true in life. We get in trouble. We don't have any scripture to access. What do I do in this situation? Well, we're not in God's word. Of course, we're not going to know what to do. You limited yourself because of your limited knowledge of the word of God. God's plan's found in his book. And the more you know of the scripture, the more ammunition you have when problems come your way. When things get tight, when things are going well, it's not that hard. But when things get tight, that's when you got to find the answers. The answers are found in God's book. So let's know the game plan. We're doing well. Number two, be a team player. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. That's what Paul is saying. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Paul said, you know, all these things I'm going through, it's not just about me. It's for your sakes also. It's also for the glory of God. You see, realize what's going on in our life. It's not just about you. It affects your family. It affects other Christians. And ultimately, it can bring glory to God. We call that being a team player. See, a good team isn't just a bunch of individuals. Well, you know, we used to have guys that come up and say, you know, I'm not going to play on the team this year because I'm not going to get a starter. I'm not going to play very much. I'd say, well, you're in 10th grade. In a couple years, you're going to be the player. I'll wait till then. I'm like, guess what? If I'm coaching and you don't play this year, you won't play next year either. Oh, but why? Because if you're only going to play when you get all the glory, then you ain't going to play. You're not a team player. You see, as Christians, we all need each other. You may go through something and God may use that to help you to be an encouragement for somebody else. You may go through something and you don't even know it. Someone may be looking at you and saying, do you see how they handled that as a Christian? That's an encouragement to me. Life is not meant to be lived for yourself. And yet so many of us do. Be a team player. God wants to use you to help others. I don't know if you're a sports person, you probably remember this. Remember Allen Iverson's little tirade about practice? I remember that. He missed practice, his coach suspended him. He got up in front of the media, and he thought it was ridiculous that he got suspended for missing practice. And he started ranting on how unimportant practice is. And all the reporters there started laughing. He thought they were laughing with him. They were laughing at him. But see, that's how we think. He thought, just because if I can show up at a game and drop 20, 25 points, why do I need to go to practice? Because if you're not at practice, you're not blending with your team. You're just showing up and doing your own thing. It's about you. That's how we live, isn't it? It's all about me. You know, it's not about you. Your life isn't about you. Your Christianity isn't about you. It's about right there. Do all to the glory of God. Oh, but people think you're a wonderful person. Who cares? They ought to think you serve a wonderful God. To the glory of God. Be a team player. Number three. I'm really hurrying today. Play with endurance. Play with endurance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not. By the way, he uses the phrase faint not twice. But though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, day by day. You know what endurance is? It just means keep going on. When you feel like stopping, don't stop. Be in good shape. Be able to take it. When you feel like things aren't going well, the worst thing you can do is quit. Keep going on. We live in a quitter's society. Things get tough. Things get hard. God's calling me to do something else. Can I just tell you something? If things are hard this place and you go to that place, what are you going to do when things get tough over here? You've already established that you'll just pick up and do something else. Tough times are everywhere. You're not going to escape it. So why don't we just say, I am going to stick it out. By the way, it starts with the inward man. What you do on the outside is really just a picture or reveals what you are on the inside. Joe Frazier is a great boxer. He fought, he had three big fights with Muhammad Ali, three probably the best fights of all time. He said this. He said, when I have a fight coming up, I do not have to get up at 5 in the morning and run my three miles. He goes, I don't have to do that. I don't have to get up. I don't have to eat right. I don't have to train hard. He goes, and nobody will know. Nobody. He says, but when I step into that ring for the fight and they flip on the lights and it's just me and my opponent, everything I've been doing for the last 8 months is going to be revealed. Whether I ran or not, whether I watched my diet or not, whether I did the training I was supposed to do, everybody's going to know. You know, when tough times come, what's really inside of you is going to show. Am I really strong in the Lord? Endurance. You say, but it's not easy. I get that. But quitting is not easy either. It seems like the easy out, but it usually causes more problems. Endurance. I read a book many years ago. It was actually called Endurance. It's a story about a man named Shackelford. He took an expedition. I think they were going to the Arctic ice cap. And they went up there in a boat. It was like 1914, 1915. Technology was not what it, you know. And their boat gets stuck in ice, and it literally got crushed. They were stuck on these ice floats without a boat. Just reading the book, it's just horrific, freezing cold. They make this long journey, and they got to this one island, and they finally got to solid land, and they were stuck. And they realized no help was coming for them, and the nearest island was 800 miles away, 800 miles of some of the worst ocean in the world. And six or seven of these guys got in this boat. They made these two boats. They made them as watertight as they could. They left the rest of the guys back on the shore, and they took off 800 miles in primitive, lifeboats. And they take this horrible journey. They, miracle of miracles, they get to the island. And then a storm takes them to the wrong side of the island. And these guys have been malnourished for over a year, and they're on the wrong side of the island. Now they got to scale mountains to get to the whaling station on the other side of this island. And just this story is like one setback after another. And yet these guys made it to the other side of the island, and not one man on that crew died. Just a story of problem after problem after problem. But they didn't give up. Endurance. Don't give up. Go forward. Number four, know your opposition. Know your opposition. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. All that Paul was going through, he looked at through the light of eternity, and he said, it's a light affliction, it's only for a short time, and the outcome is going to be much better than the little bit of discomfort and pain we're going through now. That's knowing your opposition. The best way to beat your opposition is to know what it is, to know their strengths. By the way, we have an enemy. His name is Satan. The Bible tells us we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan has always done the same thing he always does. What's the first thing he did? He tried to get us to become our own gods. Eve, eat the fruit and you'll be your own God. You can decide what's right and wrong. By the way, that's what he tries to get us to do this day. Don't follow God's will. Don't follow God's word. Just do your own thing. That's Satan. Okay? And he tries to tempt us. How does he tempt us? We even know how he tempts us. Through James calls it lust. Lust is desires. What is that thing that you struggle with in your life that is wrong? That's where Satan's going to attack you. It's not like we don't know our opposition. Yes, Satan is powerful. Yes, Satan knows what's going on. But we know exactly what he's going to do. Our opposition is is Satan. It's the world. Now, when we talk about the world, what do we mean? We mean the philosophies, the principles, the unsaved, ungodly philosophy that the unsaved world tries to force on us. That is not of God. By the way, it's everywhere. The stuff you listen to, on the radio, all the nonsense, all the stuff on the television, all that stuff. Be very, very careful, because they're not just trying to entertain you in many cases. They're trying to subject you to their way of thinking. Satan's very good. He has the, and then the flesh. I mean, you got Satan on the outside, you've got the world on the outside, and then you got this body we live in that just likes to do that which is wrong. I mean, well, look, something happens, you don't naturally think, praise God. You get upset. You know, we went to the pastor's conference, and we went into, I took my daughter, came with me, we went into San Francisco on Monday for a little bit. And I went to a parking lot, and he had a little sticker there. And for the parking, and they said if you got it validated, it was free. So I got it validated, and the guy goes, well, that's only for an hour. You still have to pay. I'm like, great. He goes, go to the machine over there, you'll pay. So I go to the machine, and I put it in there, and the machine talked. You owe $6. I'm like, thank you, Mr. All I had was a 20. Now, it said it takes 1, 5, 10s, and 20. So I'm like, okay. And I put my 20 in, and I, you know that sucking sound when it takes it? As soon as it took it, it said, we do not make change. I'm like, that's 14 bucks you just stole from me. Now, I'm not a tightwad, but I'm like, that just got me. And I walked over to the guy in the booth. I'm like, your machine just took, it took my money. And I'm pretty sure I heard it laugh. Ha, ha, ha. It's like, so you know what I'm going to do? We went to China. I'm going to park in the red, and then that ticket I would have got, we're even. Okay? But we all live in the flesh. The first thing that comes up when something doesn't go our way is what? Get even. By the way, I didn't kick that machine that hard. Okay? I'm pretty sure that dent for 14 bucks, they'll be able to pull it out. I wanted to get 14 bucks. You're kidding me. I ain't going back there. The flesh. Man, we got all this stuff we got to fight on the outside, and on the inside, it's like, hey, do wrong, do wrong, do wrong. But we have to know our opposition. And then the last thing is this. We have to look at the end result. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We're not looking at all the problems that are going on. We're looking at what's going to happen later on in the future, spiritually speaking. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. They don't matter in the whole scheme of things. And the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Listen, the little petty things we all deal with and get irritated on this life are nothing really compared to eternity. Now, it irritates us. I'll raise my hand. I get irritated. I still want my 14 bucks back. But, man, eternal's where it's at. When we are, now look, I'm not going to hide it from you, and next week we'll have our banner up, and yay, it's all going to be great. Hey, the building offering is coming. Thank you, Brother Pineda and Robert. Hope you guys will be the first to give. We're not going to hide it. Oh, this is 9 years in a row. Amen. We got to get the building done. We are so close. By the way, I'm excited about it. Why? Because I have to be. No, I'm excited. I can't wait till that thing is done. And by the way, you're just saying that because I get it. I know. I enjoy giving to the building. I don't do it grudgingly. I don't do it because I have to. I know what the building is. And by the way, I don't enjoy it for the temporal, although I do enjoy it for the temporal. I'm thinking of eternal. That's an eternal investment. Okay? That's an eternal investment. And I'm looking at the end result. Whenever I coached our teams, and you think the guys would get it. They're not sharp. That, you know, first practice, hey, what? Give me some goals for this year, guys. And, you know, they're all like, well, you know, I think we should have better defense this year. Hey, that's a good goal. You know, anybody else have a goal? You know what? I want to have better offense this year. I'm like, hey, that's a good goal. And they would all give me things like that. And then I'd say, you're all wrong. The goal is to win the championship. I don't care about any of the rest. That's why we're playing. I don't know if you know that. We're playing to get to the title game and to win. Now, as bad as I hate to lose, if we lost to a better team, I didn't mind. If I could honestly say that team was better than us, God bless them. And that happened a couple times, not very often. You know what would irk me? When we would play a team that we ought to slaughter and we would win, but not by enough. I'm like, and they would say, but Brother Myers, we won. I'm like, but brother, if you play like that when we play a good team, we're going to get killed. It's not about this game. It's about the goal. Shoot for a goal. Now, we didn't always hit our goal. Now, thankfully, many times we did hit our goal and win the title. But there was a couple years we didn't. And you know what? We did our best. That's fine. Let's look for it. Don't just live for right now. Live with eternity in view. Take care of what you got to take care of now. I get that. Okay, we're not going to sell everything we have, get a white robe, and wait on a hill for Jesus to come. We ain't doing that. Let's live with eternity in view. You know why I give to the building? I give because I want the building, and I want souls reached, and I want to do something that makes a difference in eternity. Isn't that what you want? I want to, you know why I tithe the church? Because God tells me to tithe, okay? But I give extra, and I give to our missions, and I give to our building fund, and I give some to our bus ministry. You know why? I just like to give to something that's making a difference in someone's life. That's what it's all about. And by the way, if this church wasn't doing it, I'd pack up, get my money, and go somewhere else. But man, it's exciting to see God do something, isn't it? Amen. Let's live with eternity in view. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all.